Well, greetings, everybody. If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. Hello, and welcome to Basic Gospel. And with Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And, of course, we're here to serve you, as always. If you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, we cordially invite your call right now to 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And now with his thoughts as we open today's broadcast, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, everything that you see on the news is all about this coronavirus, and certainly all the decisions being made by government, by local officials, by business owners, and that sort of thing to shut down, to help curb the spread of this particular virus. It is just putting a lot of fear into the system.
Yeah.
On many different fronts. Gina and I were at Kroger, grocery store, over the weekend, and of course we go and, you know, just shelves and shelves and shelves are empty. There's no meat to be found. There's no dry goods like pasta and that sort of thing. All of the paper products, shelves were empty there.
Yeah.
And so we asked, Gina asked one of the workers, he said, when's things going to be restocked? And said, well, we're constantly getting in trucks, but she looked at us and said, our shoppers are just scared. And this is what raw fear looks like.
Yeah.
And she was witnessing that in the eyes of the people coming in, just sheer panic. And we're seeing that all over the country.
Yeah.
And what are we afraid of? That's the question. What are we afraid of? And I want to put that out there to our listeners. If you are experiencing fear, if you're experiencing a sense of anxiety, what is it that you're really afraid of? Let's talk about that today on the Basic Gospel broadcast. Now, we're certainly not experts, medical experts, scientific experts, as far as the virus is concerned, but the Word of God has a lot to say about fear and anxiety. And we, as believers in Christ, of all people on this planet, we have an opportunity to show the world a different way, a different way to live, a way to live by faith and trust in Jesus Christ, a way to be patient, a way to exercise wisdom, apply wisdom, and to offer hope out there in this world. So this is a great opportunity for us as believers in Jesus Christ to show forth the good news of Jesus, to let people know that there is hope, that let people know that we can trust, we can exchange our fear for trust. So in light of that, let me just read a couple of passages out of the Word of God. The first, that's Hebrews 13:5 through 6. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So this is a truth that all of us as believers have in our back pocket. It's a reality. God lives in us. Jesus Christ lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And this is the promise. They will never leave us nor forsake us. So we're not alone in this situation.
Not
we have
all.
Someone that we can rely upon, depend upon, someone that we can trust. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the one who loved us and gave himself for us. So with that, the writer of Hebrews goes on and he quotes something out of the Old Testament. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Yeah.
So that's a truth that we have. That's our reality as believers. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So we don't have a spirit of fear anymore. That's been replaced by a spirit of power, love, and self-control. Now, what does this do? It enables us to not respond to all of the stuff that's being said. It gives us a perspective to say what is truth. Now, for example, this word pandemic, the coronavirus has been labeled a global pandemic. Well, what does that mean? What does the word pandemic mean? Well, I looked it up, and here's what a health organization defined it. It says pandemic means a sustained and continuous transmission of a disease simultaneously in more than three different geographic regions. So this started in China and it spread to various places in China, and then it's gone all over the world. Yep. So some of the major areas, China, Italy, South Korea, Iran, those are the four top spots as far as the coronavirus is concerned. The United States is in the top 10 or 12 or so. I think we have a little over 4,300 known cases to date. So it's spread to more than three different geographical regions. Now, the word pandemic does not refer to the lethality of a virus. It doesn't talk about whether it's deadly or it's not deadly. It has nothing to do with that. It's only speaking to the transmissibility and the geographical extension. So I think we need to understand that. And so somebody who is not giving in to the fear and panic of the world is going to seek truth, is going to look out and say, what is really being said about this? And then let us base our decisions on the actual facts.
Yes.
And I think that's very important. So God has given us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And then the third verse is simply this, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. We have a God that we can cast all of our cares upon because we know he cares for us. And certainly, many people here in the United States are facing health concerns as a result of this pandemic. They're also facing financial concerns. What's going to happen to me tomorrow? Will I have a job? Will my company shut down? And I think probably the biggest hit that all of us are going to face is the financial hit or the economic hit.
Yeah.
I know my wife's, Gina, her brother, he's in the, event planning industry. Well, how many events are going to be planned over the next, 4 to 8 weeks?
Not many.
And those that are planned that are on the schedule are being canceled. Why? Because it just makes sense to cancel those, to not gather a group of people, a large group of people in one setting.
Yeah.
So here's somebody that's going to face, the real possibility of not having a job tomorrow. And there's lots of people that have that.
Sure.
And so we need to recognize those real concerns and recognize that we have somebody that we can trust. One of the things that has kept going through my mind over the last 3 or 4 days is the story of the people of Israel in the wilderness, how God provided manna on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of panic shopping. We see all the shelves emptied because people are scared. And they're wondering about if they're going to have enough supplies for the next week or the next month or the next 2 or 3 months. So they're grabbing it all up right now. Well, I don't think we have to do that. I think our food supply is adequate and sufficient. We just need to have some time to get that food on the shelves and all of that.
Right.
So let's be patient. Let's exchange the fear for faith. Let's exercise some patience. Let's apply some wisdom, and let's offer hope out there in the world today.
Yes, indeed. Bob, good thoughts. Thank you for that. And it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for being with us. We'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. If you have about 8 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is Basic Gospel Live, and the lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, of course, in face of the coronavirus or any of the maladies that we face that come against us day by day, or at least frequently, knowing Jesus is the most important experience we can have in this life to come against those. Our 5-message series called The Jesus You Can Know will help you know him in an even more personal way. Bob, talk to our listeners a little bit about this series, The Jesus You Can Know.
Well, it is a wonderful series. In all of my years of being in ministry, any time that I have taken a group through a study on the person of Jesus Christ, looking at his claims, looking at his character, looking at who he is, I've seen the most growth in those who participated.
Yes, absolutely.
And why? Because Christianity is all about relationship, and God has removed all the obstacles that stood between us and him. He took away sin once and for all. He's reconciled us to himself so that we could be reconciled to him. And when we are, we're to grow in that relationship. We're to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is, in essence, what eternal life is all about. That's the quality of life that we can experience is through this relationship. So we want you to know Jesus. And in knowing Jesus, you can face whatever comes your way in life with a sense of confidence, with a sense of peace, with a sense of calm. And certainly we need that.
Absolutely.
So knowing Jesus is the key. That's why we want to put this resource, The Jesus You Can Know, in your hands.
It's a wonderful five-message series, as Bob said, The Jesus You Can Know. We'll send you a copy of this particular series as our thanks for your gift in the month of March. You can click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, be sure to request your copy of The Jesus You Can Know. That's basicgospel.net. Well, again, the lines are open at 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you.
Yes, we do. Well, we're going to go and talk to Mary Jo to get us started. Hey, Mary Jo.
Hello. I'm a little nervous, though. I'm a diabetic with this thing, and I just bought what I needed at the grocery store the other day. And like you said, I was talking to a friend. She said there was no produce.
Well, Mary Jo, you know, I think we just have to exercise some patience, and you know, there's lots of produce available. It's just not on the shelves. It's probably in trucks coming. The poor grocery workers are working feverishly to restock and do those things. I went into a grocery store this morning, and man, I just looked into their eyes, and you could just see exhaustion. I mean, a lot of them had worked overnight to try to restock shelves. So the thing is, Mary Jo, I think we just exercise some patience. We check back with stores, you know, on a daily or every other day basis to see what's available. Maybe some friends can reach out to you and say, hey, I was at this store and there was produce. And so that could, you know, help you get there quickly and get some of that.
Yeah, just because there's a virus doesn't mean there isn't food. The food chain is going to continue, and we can bank on that. For instance, in the dairy area, cows are going to have to be milked. There's no question about that. They've got to be milked, and so that milk is going to be processed and brought into the stores just like always.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mary Jo. So one thing you can expect is God to be faithful to his promises.
Yep.
And what he has promised, Mary Jo, is that he would meet all of our needs according to his riches in glory. So let's expect God to do what God has always done. You know, so often we get anxious, and that anxiety has to do with fear of the future. We project out into the future, a week ahead, 2 weeks ahead, a month ahead, and we create negative, bleak stories in our minds that we're not going to have food, we're going to get kicked out of our homes, and all of these sort of things. Well, those are scary thoughts, and it causes us to be anxious today. Well, we can't control our future, but what we do have is today, and what we do know is that God is going to meet our needs today. When tomorrow comes, and that's going to be the today, then we can know that God's going to meet our needs on that day as well. So let's keep trusting the Lord. Let's keep expecting him to fulfill his promise and to continue to be faithful to us just as he always has been.
Yeah.
Well, Mary Jo, thanks for your question. We certainly always appreciate hearing from you.
Yes, indeed. And friends, if you have a question about the coronavirus issue, as Bob was saying at the outset of the broadcast, any concerns that you have, well, give us a call. We are here to serve you, our listeners, and that number is available to you right now, 844-322-2742. If you can't get to us during the live broadcast, give us a call off hours, and we'll address your question as quickly as possible here at Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. As a matter of fact, that's how Lynn reached out to us. Let's listen.
Hello, my name's Lanning. The other day, I really repented and I asked God for forgiveness, and I really wanted him in my life, and I do still, obviously. And so I asked him into my life, and that was amazing, you know, to make it a serious relationship with Christ. However, I have an addiction that I struggle with. Unfortunately, a couple days later, I fell back into that addiction. I don't know what to do. What is your advice? I really want to have a true, genuine relationship with God, and I don't want to do this ever again in my entire life because I want that true relationship with Christ. What can I do? Thank you so much.
Well, first, Lynn, you can't define your relationship with Jesus based on whether you've fallen back into your addiction, your old habit, or not. You have to base that on truth. What does God say? And God says this, that anyone calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's his promise, and that's his guarantee. So if you've called upon the name of the Lord, you're saved. Now, that's truth that you have to anchor yourself in. And if you get tempted as far as addictions are concerned, and you will, because that's been your old way of life, and those old habits, that pattern has been established in that body of yours. As it says, sin lives in those members. And so those old habits, those old addictions are going to tug at your heart. But just because you have those old patterns tugging at your heart, that doesn't negate what God has done for you through Christ's death on the cross, through his resurrection, and through his regenerative work by the Holy Spirit. So if you've been saved, you've been saved. That's a forever thing. And now it's a matter of God's Holy Spirit starting to renew your mind and to give you new patterns. And that's going to take time. That's not something that just happens overnight. Your salvation was instantaneous. It happened in a moment. God saved you when you called upon the name of the Lord. You may have done so through a prayer. You may have done so in many different ways. But the moment you called upon the name of the Lord and said, Lord, I know you're my salvation. I know I need to be saved. I am trusting you and you alone. You were saved forever. God regenerated you. You crossed over from death to life. You received forgiveness of sins. You were made righteous in the sight of God. You were given a new identity. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. You were made new, raised to walk in the newness of life. So thank the Lord that that's true, that that has happened, that you are saved, that you're a new creature in Christ. Now trust the Lord to work on this addiction. So that's how you have to handle it. I know when I was a kid, I prayed to receive Christ at a youth camp, and I didn't get a lot of input after that. And so through junior high, through high school, through most of my years in college, I struggled against sin. And I had no way to overcome it in my life. I kept trying to overcome it through human effort, and sin kept winning. So I wondered if my salvation had taken. So I prayed to receive Christ over and over and over again. And finally, I came to a point when I read in the book of Colossians that Christ had made me alive, that he forgave all of my sins. I finally came to a point and said, I'm going to believe this to be true. I'm not going to doubt it anymore. I'm not going to judge my salvation on my ability to overcome sin. I had no ability to overcome sin. Lynn, you don't have it either. But God has given you His power, His life, His resurrection power, and now you can trust in the power of God. And as you trust in the power of God, you can see those old habits start to diminish over time. But don't be surprised if those old habits come back, if those desires come back. But here's the good news. You don't have to give in, and those old habits don't define who you are. That's not who you are anymore. You are a child of God. But Lynn, if you hear this, I encourage you to write to me, bob@basicgospel.net, bob@basicgospel.net. We want to put some resources in your hands that can really help get you your roots deep into the finished work of Jesus Christ so that you can really respond to Him in faith and gratitude, knowing that what He did forever, and that you are saved completely.
Yes, indeed. Bob, we had this question from Manuel, and he asks, can you please explain Proverbs 31:3?
Well, we can. This is a very interesting passage. We think of Proverbs 31 as being the chapter on the virtuous woman, and it is. But before he gets to that, he gives some warnings to a king. And he's saying, don't waste your leadership or don't give up your leadership by chasing after women.
Yeah.
So all throughout the book of Proverbs, we see warnings about that. And this is just one of those warnings. And here's what the verse actually says, if I can turn the page. It says, do not give your strength to women or your ways to those who destroy kings. So he's saying, you're going to have all types of temptations. Women are going to come knocking on your door. Why? Because they like your position. They like the authority that you have, and they want to be connected to you. But don't give your strength over to them. Don't put your leadership, in a precarious situation.
Yeah.
Recognize the position that you're in and act accordingly.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying here.
Manuel, hope that's a help to you. And Bob, we had this quick question from Francois. He says, I've always wanted to know, did Job get a new wife? As we know, his wife told him to curse God and die. So when Job was blessed with 10 new children, were they the same wife or a new wife? I have looked everywhere for the answer for this, and I knew Bob Christopher would have the answer.
Well, Job's wife only appears in the book in the first chapters, where she says, "Curse God and just die."
Yeah.
But we don't really see her for the rest of the book. But we believe that she stayed with Job. We have no reason to doubt that, and that she was with Job at the end. Mm-hmm. So that's the answer, but the Bible doesn't really give the specifics of that.
Well, friends,
we also had this question. Mm-hmm. Somebody is asking about the, validity of some Dead Sea Scrolls. Were they fake? And there's this, Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., and they've learned that some of the things that they have that they were going to put on display were forgeries. But that doesn't negate the authenticity of the actual Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize that those are authentic. Those have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And we understand that the information that we've gathered from them validates the Word of God. Mm-hmm. It gives us some real evidence that this Word that we hold in our hands is indeed the Word of God.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, you know, knowing Jesus is the most important experience in life, and our 5-CD series, The Jesus You Can Know, will help you know him in an even more personal way. We want to send you a copy as our thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel during the month of March. Click donate at basicgospel.net and help us get the word out, friends, far and wide. Again, donate anytime at basicgospel.net. And remember, if you have a question overnight, call 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.